whenever I read this gospel, I always think about an experience I had when I, so after I graduated from college the first time, I went on a backpacking trip with one of my college professors and one of my college buddies. And so at that point, we had kind of split up, and so it was just my buddy Scott and me. And we were on our way back. We were going to fly out of Amsterdam. And so he wanted to make a stop in Germany because his dad had been in the Air Force when he was growing up. And I was fine. We can go there. And so we get to a place called Traben-Trabach, and we got hooked up with a nice little bed and breakfast there. And this lady, she had a couple upper rooms that she'd rent out and stuff. And it was really nice. And, but it was in the afternoon. We got there and it was in the afternoon. It was probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And, so Scott wanted to go back up to the Air Force base where, he was stationed in the town, the little town where he had lived. Cause he was like 3 or 4 years old and he had like kind of some vague memories of what that was like. And, so we looked and the bus schedule, it didn't go there at that time of the day, and it wasn't going to go there until like tomorrow or the next day. And we had to, the next day we had to go to, we had to go up to Amsterdam to catch our flight. So he was like all bummed out. It's like, well, so I looked at it on a map. It didn't look like it was that far. So I was like, well, let's walk. And so I'm not really excited about this trip anyway. It is like, so he's like, okay. So we start walking. And I'm walking really fast because I'm kind of mad. And so he's like, dude, I can't walk that fast. I'm like, okay. And he's like, we're never going to make it. I was like, well, it's like, we can hitchhike. And he's like, what? It's like, yeah, when I was in Poland, I did some hitchhiking. People in Europe, they do it a lot more. They'll stop for us. So we start putting our thumb out. So we're walking down the road, and finally this one guy stopped, and he's in kind of this old white jalopy, and so we get in the back, and he doesn't speak any English, and we, you know, hello, how's it going? And so he takes us to a certain point, and because we were going to the town, I think it was called Schwarzen. And okay, so we get it. So we get there, and then we get out, and then we walk a little ways further, and put our thumb out. And this young man his name was Axel, and so he stops for us, and so we get in the car with Axel, and Axel's driving along, and I'm looking at his speedometer, and it's like 160 kilometers per hour. I'm like, so I'm doing the math in my head, divided by 1.6. It's like, oh, we're driving 100 miles an hour down this road. So we're just screaming along, and so Axel lets us out. So we walk for another mile or two, and then finally we put out our thumbs, and there's this old couple picks us up, and they're in this old red jalopy, and so he's driving, the old lady's in the back, and so we get in, and Scott had taken a little bit of German in high school, and so he knew a little bit. But what we figured is that they had a daughter that lived in Chicago, and she was a doctor. That's kind of so they let us out, and we walked at the last mile or so into Schwarzen, and it's a village of, I don't know, maybe 20 houses or something. So we go, and I'm like, do you remember anything, dude? I'm like, nope. I was like, okay, let's go, because it's going to get dark here pretty soon. So we walked past the Air Force base, and he kind of remembered some of the mounds where the missile silos were and stuff like that. But, and I'm getting worried because it's starting to get dark, and I don't think anybody's going to want to pick us up in the dark. And I was right. And so we walked, and nobody's picking us up. And so we finally get to this kind of little hamlet area, and we were both out of water, and so we go into this bar, it's a tavern, and it was kind of like from one of those Western movies, you know, these two Americans walk in, and like the music stops, and everybody turns around and looks at you. So we go up to the bar, we get a couple Cokes, and then we go and we keep walking. And so we're walking down the road, and like I said, at this point it's dark, and or it's really dusky or dark. It was almost dark, And so we're, nobody's stopping, you know, and they're just, cars are passing by. And so finally this car pulls over, and he picks us up, and we look in, and it was the same guy that had given us a ride up to them on our way out of town, and so we were like, hey, and he's like, hey, and so it was like a great reunion. We're like best friends now. And so even though he didn't speak a lick of German, he didn't speak a lick of English. So we get back to the and we walk the last little ways up to our bed and breakfast, and we go and put the key in the door, and it doesn't work. Like, what do you mean it doesn't work? So I try to, I'm like, it doesn't work. It's like, I know it doesn't work. And before we left, the lady told us, don't ring the doorbell when you come back, you know, because, you know, if it's late or whatever. And so, and we're like, well, what do? We can't sleep out here all night. So what do? We ring the doorbell. Bing, bong. And all of a sudden, from inside, there's the visage of this white-haired lady, an elderly lady, and she's looking at us, and we're trying to, so like, and Scott remembers like three words in German, and one of them is the word for key, which is Schlüssel. It's like, Schlüssel, no work. Schlüssel, no work. And the lady's like, huh? She's like, I'm not opening this door. And all of a sudden, I look around, and I see this lady coming around, our landlady coming around the corner. We were at the wrong house. And so she goes and she talks to the neighbor, and I'm not sure exactly what she said in German, but I think it had something to do with stupid Americans or something. So we go back. So we went back, and we got to go back up to the room. So I know it's a long story, but the reason I always think about that story with this gospel is that, and the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, and you will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And she will say from the inside, I'm changing that, but she will say from the inside, in German, I do not know where you are from. I do not know you. And so that's kind of what I was reflecting on, just in terms of this scripture, is that when we go to our Lord's house and we knock on the door, you know, the requirement isn't about what you've done. It's not about how much money you have. It's not, you know, where are you from or anything like that. It's do I know you? And so that's the question. So the requirement for admittance into our Lord's house is having that relationship. There's a prerequisite of a relationship with the master of the house, with Jesus. And so having that relationship with our Lord is, again, is key for being able to dwell in his house. And so thinking about, okay, how do we have a relationship with Jesus? You know, how do we inaugurate that relationship with Jesus? Well, always, you know, one of the first places that we want to start is through prayer. You know, because it is through prayer that we come, that we open ourselves and we dispose ourselves to that relationship with Christ. We allow him in silence. So being able to unplug from the world and just to carve out quiet time. It doesn't have to be a lot, but to carve out quiet time for ourselves, and so that we can allow our Lord to speak to us and we can speak to him. And when we allow our Lord to speak to the depths of our hearts, then we develop that relationship with him. We begin that conversation with him, so that the ultimate fruit of that then is that we carry that with us throughout the course of our day, that it is a continuous conversation during of speaking with him, of knowing him during the course of our day. The second part that I think is a place where we come to know Christ in an intimate way is flowing from that prayer, and opening up that prayer is opening up the scriptures. And so in that scripture then leads to that knowing of through the word, enables us to have that encounter with him in the sacrament. So you have prayer, word, sacrament, you know, and that becomes the intimacy of knowing Christ. And then once we have that prayer, word, sacrament, then we go out to encounter Christ in others. And as Mother Teresa would so beautifully put it, you know, she had a deep understanding that the poor and the needy that she served and the lepers that she touched, that this was Christ. That and she called it Christ in the distressing disguise of the poor. So in that service to others, then when we come to know Christ through prayer, when we know him through his word and through his sacrament, that it is then that we recognize him in others. And that's where our service, our Christian service, then it flows from that. And so that's again, you know, when we knock at the door, you know, what does our Lord say to us? You know, he doesn't say, "I do not know you," but he says, "I know you. Come on inside." And because we are called, each one of us, he wants to know us. He wants to love us. He does love us, but he wants us to know him. And he wants us to have that relationship with him. And so it is the unfolding of that relationship, ultimately, then that gives us that admittance to our Lord's house. So let us really strive to continue on our pilgrim journey so that we may always come to know Christ.